From Redeemer Broadcasting, this is Holding All Things Together for this final weekend in June. I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter. We live in a constitutional republic. The freedoms afforded our country as a republic are remarkable. Of great importance to Christians is the First Amendment, which reads, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." And so, we can practice our Christian faith in the marketplace. We can run a Christian broadcast station, and we can attend church peacefully with no fear for our lives. There is so much to be thankful for. And yet, according to a new Elon University YouGov poll, a full 55% of Democrats said they would rather live in a different country than the United States. Only 10% of Republicans said the same. So, unfortunately, not every American is happy about America at 250. Here to discuss the dynamic is the president of Providence Forum, Dr. Jerry Newcomb.
I think a lot of it boils down to many Americans are misinformed and they view America in a negative light, and they don't even, it's funny, Dan, when you think about it, what's been one of the biggest stories in the news in the last really couple of years? It's been the battle over the border. It's been all kinds of people who want to come here. And in some cases, at least, it's because people want to get a shot at the American dream. And yet you have whole large major populations of America who don't appreciate what we have in America. A recent poll found that 55% of those on the left said that they would rather live in a different country than the United States.
Later in the program, Pastor Bill Shisko discusses how the Word of God is to be read and how we are to hear it. The Word is to be practiced.
Later in the program, Jerry Wiss considers the final confrontation between Laban and Jacob. Laban catches up with Jacob on his way back to Canaan with his family. Rachel had taken the idols, but God prevents Laban from finding them, thus protecting Jacob. Jerry explores the reason for idolatry among God's covenant people and draws some parallels to similar practices today.
Finally, we'll take another look at this week in history. All this just ahead on Holding All Things Together.
Well, last week we talked about, from the Shorter Catechism, how the Word of God is to be read, and that's primarily publicly, and how it is to be preached publicly. Remember that, you know, most people have been illiterate throughout history. The Word of God has to be read and preached. Well, this week, how is the Word to be read for yourself and also publicly, and how do you hear it? Jesus said, not only take heed what you hear, please, don't be getting doctrinal poison into your system from what you listen to. Take heed what you hear. That's why Redeemer Broadcasting's programming is so important. But Jesus also said, take heed how you hear, and that's Westminster Shorter Catechism number 90. How is the Word of God to be read and heard that it may become effectual or effective to salvation? That the Word of God may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. Well, let's break it all down. Diligence. Why? Well, it's the Word of God. Of all things that you should pay deep attention to, it's the Word of the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable sovereign God. But also remember, as you are reading the Word of God, or as you're hearing it, the world and the flesh and the devil, they're all fighting against you. Diligence, preparation, especially before public worship, praying in one way or another, Lord, incline my heart to receive your word, but also in your own personal devotions as you read the Holy Scripture. Prayer helps you prepare for the word of God. Lord, please grant me the Holy Spirit. I love to pray, oh Lord, you're the author of this book. Grant me the author in me that I will understand your word. And Lord, change me by your word. That's its purpose. The purpose of the Holy Spirit's work is to make you more and more like Christ. It's to transform you. Receive the word with faith and love. Believe it and thank God for that love letter he has given you that we call the Bible. Lay it up in your hearts. Your heart, that's the CPU, central processing unit of your system. Your inmost being. Hear it in such a way that you are transformed by it in your heart. Well, why? Well, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And then practice it in your life. Do it. James's words, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. My question to you, how do you read and heed the word of God?
On the Zoom line with us today is Dr. Jerry Newcomb. And Jerry, it's great to have you back with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dan. Good to be with you.
We're 1 week out from the 4th of July, and appropriately so, you wrote an article that appeared in WorldNet Daily, the title of which is An American Celebration Not Everyone Wants. And I'm looking at that thinking, yeah, he's right. Jerry is right. But it's also strange. How could somebody not want to celebrate our 4th of July? Jerry Newcomb.
Well, I think a lot of it boils down to many Americans are misinformed and they view America in a negative light. And they don't even, it's funny, Dan, when you think about it, what's been one of the biggest stories in the news in the last really couple of years? It's been the battle over the border. It's been all kinds of people who want to come here. And in some cases, at least, it's because people want to get a shot at the American dream.
Yeah.
And yet you have whole large major populations of America who don't appreciate what we have in America. A recent poll found that 55% of those on the left said that they would rather live in a different country than the United States.
Wow.
I mean, that is just astonishing. And here we are poised, as you note, several days away from America at 250, our 250th anniversary. And that's a great milestone in world history. 250 years ago, the founding fathers in Philadelphia, representing 3 million people back home, voted by voice vote on the final wording of the Declaration of Independence. That's what happened on July 4th, 1776. And many Americans today are either ho-hum about that incredible birthday, or in some cases, they're upset about it. There was even reports of sabotage in our nation's capital against some of the equipment and so forth being used or gearing up for the big celebration of America at 250. And then, of course, we all know about how President Trump was, he has his gala, organized and so forth. And all these different celebrities were pulling out because they don't like Trump. And even Bill Maher was very liberal. I was on his show four times when it was on ABC. Mm-hmm. It was not like it is now as far as swearing and stuff. But anyway, he says it almost makes these celebrities seem as if they appear like they don't, quote unquote, they don't really love America.
No, that's
and
true.
So, you know, at the end of the day, what is America, Dan? It's an experiment in self-liberty under God's law. That's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The people that founded this country, most of them in the early stages, came for religious freedom. They came away from persecution. And by the time you get to the founders, they basically said, well, look, our rights come from God, and we will be governed by the consent of the governed. That's the American experiment, self-rule under God.
Yeah.
And it all began with the Pilgrims in 1620, where they articulated a Christian vision for their particular colony. And I think they definitely cast a long and positive shadow for this. You know, even non-believers should understand that there's a lot of opportunities in America still. And I think it'd be better to, you know, highlight those and, you know, make something of your life for God's glory and others' good rather than, you know, grouse about America. And frankly, here in America, you can change things if you don't like. We have the opportunity to redress grievances. If the government's getting something wrong, we can deal with it. And so anyway, I think we've been given a gift as being Americans. And I think it would be nice if more and more people realize that, especially at such a major, major milestone of America at 250.
It really is. And I can tell you, Jerry, I absolutely love our country. And I am biased. I think this is the greatest country on planet Earth. And if I was in another country, I would look on warmly towards America, not with hate, because of the principles that I see exhibited here. We're not perfect. We're far from perfect. And so, you know, some people are looking for perfection, and you're not going to find it on planet Earth. But we are to shoot for obedient, very, very simple, obedience to the law of God, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, what really bothers me, Jerry, I'll just bare my heart here. Sometimes there's woke pastors, and they cover up their hatred for conservative, patriotic Christians very subtly. And they kind of imply or even say outright, oh, you guys are practicing an idolatry. I've heard almost those words. And they make believe they're taking the high ground, and there's a form of dishonest gaslighting going on. They appear sophisticated, spiritual. They promote leftist sentiments from their bully pulpit. They appear righteous, but I think the people are catching on. We're disgusted at woke pastors, to be very honest with you.
Well, I mean, it is a bad ideology. A lot of times, by the way, It's not always the case, but in many times, if you ask those woke pastors about, well, just some basic things, you know, is Jesus divine?
Yeah.
Well, you know, did Jesus die for sinners? No. You know, well, you know, he died as an example of his love.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard about this story, but I love this story. And I verified it with Keith Geddes, one of the two key authors of the hymn, In Christ Alone, Keith Geddes and Mr. Townsend. And what happened was a liberal hymn book was being put together by one of the liberal denominations, and they wanted In Christ Alone. They said, we just want to change one little verse. It says this, and on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Can we change that to, and on the cross as Jesus died, the love of God was magnified?
Oh my.
And the authors of the hymn said, no. And then the hymnal said, well, forget it then. We're not going to leave, you know, put in your hymn. We're not going to give you any, you know, royalties or depositories or, you know, whatever. We're not.
That's a good example right there.
Yeah, it is. And God bless those hymn writers for sticking to their ground, sticking to the gospel.
Yeah.
And so you will find, I mean, a lot of times the people, pastors on the left, they've abandoned really faith in Jesus. Now, there are some, I would call them maybe liberal evangelicals. They do, if you touch them, I mean, as far as a theology, you know, try and drill down and really understand, you know, do you really believe Jesus died for sinners? Yeah, yeah, they do. They do believe that. And you know, thank God for that. They do believe Jesus is divine. They do believe in the Trinity and so forth. But some of them almost, they've made a new idol, and that is the idol of standing against whatever America stands for, standing against whatever Trump stands for.
I feel that very strongly.
I know a pastor that he and I used to have good fellowship and all this stuff, but he ended up becoming so anti-Trump that he, you know, just anything Trump does, even if it's something really good, he's against it because of Trump.
Right, by definition.
And ultimately, I've asked him, I've tried to drill down, what happened? What happened? Charlottesville happened. Okay. He ended up believing the liberal media about Charlottesville, the good people on both sides. Well, President Trump is on record saying there are good people on both sides of the argument related to historical statues.
Yeah.
Should this statue remain? Should it not? It is a part of our history, part of the good, the bad, the ugly. Should that statue remain? There are good people on both sides. Trump said there are terrible people on both sides when it comes to all this fighting in the streets, including these thugs.
Sure.
Now it turns out that the leader of the Unite the Right and so forth apparently was paid by Southern Poverty Law Center who can then turn around and say, oh, look at all the hate in America. We're out there to expose this hate in America. Yet it turns out they were the ones in the last few years that have been helping to fund some of this
so-called
right-wing hate so they can denounce it. You know, so, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah,
politics makes strange bedfellows. But I'm grieved about that pastor that he believed the lies of the media.
Right.
That Trump, you know, in his heart of hearts is a racist. You know, I remember a friend saying to me in a tweet in 2016 when the actual first time Trump won the votes and so forth. And she said, do you think that Donald J. Trump, as a successful businessman in New York City, could get ahead the way he has, you know, all these years if he was, you know, a racist or even acted as a racist?
That's a good
question. No, of course not.
No.
You know, it's a good question, and it's very reasonable.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think there are people who believe the liberal media, I mean, and to their detriment, and I think that's really sad because, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness.
Well, today we're talking with our good friend, Dr. Jerry Newcomb. And, Jerry, we've got just less than a minute left. Share with us, please, about the group that you're a part of and how people can get more information.
Sure. ProvidenceForum.org is an organization founded by Dr. Peter Loback. And he and I wrote a book about George Washington's Sacred Fire. We've also written a new book about Samuel Adams and the Sons of Liberty. It's called Under the Liberty Tree.
Mm.
And anyway, he graciously gave to Coral Ridge Ministries, where I've been working for 41 years by God's grace, come this summer. That's founded by D. James Kennedy, the late D. James Kennedy, now headed up by Robert J. Pacienza, senior pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. Anyway, bottom line is at providenceforum.org, we have all kinds of resources about America's rich Christian heritage. And no, we're not making some sort of idol out of America. America, America, you know, God bless thine every flaw, you know, confirm thy soul in liberty, confirm thy soul in God's law.
Yes.
You know, America needs a great revival.
Amen.
And America was born in a great revival. And
that's true.
What we want to try and stress.
That's right.
That it was Christian ideas that made the good parts of America what it is, and the hope that it's been politically for people all around the world.
That's perfect. Nice summary. Dr. Jerry Newcomb, my brother, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
This week, Jerry Wiss considers the final confrontation between Laban and Jacob when the covenant heir's father-in-law catches up with him on his way back to Canaan with his family. Laban's household gods had been stolen, and he furiously searches for them among Jacob's possessions, but comes up empty-handed. Rachel took them, but God prevents Laban from finding them, thus protecting Jacob. Jerry explores the reason for idolatry among God's covenant people and draws some parallels to similar practices today. Jerry is a regular contributor to Holding All Things Together and is a writer for Christian Renewal magazine.
The confrontation between Laban and Jacob, once Laban catches up with him, is an intense one. I've already noted Laban's view of his own patriarchal dominion over his family, but he is restrained from doing Jacob harm and from confiscating the covenant heir's possessions, as well as his wives and children, by the Lord having warned Laban in a dream. He is, therefore, at a standstill. But before this happens, to be noted is that Laban's household gods had been stolen, and it's expected that he would think Jacob or someone in his house stole them, since Jacob and all his house leave for Canaan at the time the idols go missing. This is, in fact, the case, as we learn in Genesis 31, verses 19 and 32. Rachel, Jacob's beloved and Laban's youngest daughter, took them, and Jacob is unaware that she had. Because of this, he tells Laban that whoever is in possession of the idols will not live. This doesn't bode well for Rachel. Laban searches furiously through all the tents. Mentioned are those of his daughters, since they would be the most likely to have affinity or have some affinity to the idols. But he comes up empty-handed, and we learn that Rachel had secured the idols to the saddle on her camel on which she sat. She tells her father that she won't dismount because she is menstruating, which is enough for Laban to not bother her, although he does search her tent. After Laban comes up empty-handed, Jacob berates him. In verses 37 to 42, Jacob recounts again how he had served Laban with integrity, had suffered loss for doing so, had served Laban for 14 years for his daughters, and ends by pointing to God and his favor on Jacob and the fact that God had rebuked Laban in the dream that Laban had related to Jacob. All that he had told Leah and Rachel, to which they concurred, Jacob now tells Laban, holding back nothing. Of course, if the household gods had been found, that would be a different story, but they had not been. And this, too, was of the Lord who protected Jacob. It is an example of Romans 8:28, which states that all things work together for good, all things, even sin, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Why would Rachel steal her father's household gods? Well, there are two possibilities. In fact, both may be the case. The Mosaic covenant had not yet been established, and so the law against idolatry was not front of mind, even among God's people. That's not an excuse for idolatry, but it explains how someone who had been identified with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through marriage and childbearing, namely Rachel, could have invested a belief in the power of idols. By stealing the household gods of her father, she may have hoped to weaken him in his pursuit of Jacob and his household, understanding in some way that the idols provided her father with power or favor. Likewise, she may have understood the idol's power and favor as a source of protection, almost like a horseshoe nailed above an entranceway or a lucky rabbit's foot, and so hoped to carry along this power and favor with her for protection of herself and her family en route to a strange land. Even after the Mosaic Law, Israel would fall into the worship of idols, typically in a kind of syncretistic way, whereby they would honor the God of Israel through sacrifice, as prescribed, but, as insurance, set up pillars and Asherah poles to also honor foreign gods, just in case. This is highly displeasing to God, who calls out Israel for this practice repeatedly through the prophets. Are we as Christians also syncretistic, playing so-called lucky numbers and lottery drawings, ascribing supernatural qualities to memorable objects, or consulting horoscopes or palm readers, even while attending church and reading our Bibles? We had better take care. Our God is a jealous God. He reveals himself exclusively through his word, via faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Time once again for This Week in History. June 21st. On this day in 1788, the United States Constitution is ratified as New Hampshire joins Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maryland, and South Carolina in its ratification as the supreme law of the land. While it can be argued that the Constitution is adhered to as it should be, it is the oldest written constitution in operation in the world. And June 24th, 1178. Five Canterbury monks report something exploding on the moon, the only recorded time an asteroidal impact has been observed with the naked eye. That was This Week in History, events as man recorded them, as God ordained them.
Thanks for joining us today for our program. Your comments are always welcome. Our email address is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. A reminder that the views expressed are those of the participants. For Holding All Things Together, I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Cal Carter.
God willing, see you next week.